Awesome. Another thing that kind of impacted me was how they told us we were an answer to their prayers, which was, like I said, a huge impact on me. Heidi and I went out one afternoon. We were sitting there having a lunch, and the kids were along the fence by the school, and Heidi and I just went to talk to them, and all of a sudden this old man appeared. I don't know where he came from, and he didn't speak English, but he was trying to tell us something, and our interpreter, Blessed Gordon, came over, and he translated for us, and the guy was just saying, you're answering our prayers. Like, everything you're doing here is just so amazing. You're just a gift from God. And that's just, you know, amazing that way. You know, you kind of view yourself as one who prays, not someone who's going to go out and answer someone else's prayer. So that just had a big impact on me in that way. And also just how they encouraged me through their godly actions. Again, I went there to give, and I ended up receiving so much, which really caught me off guard. And again, their receptivity towards us was overwhelming. Their thankfulness and appreciation was just so genuine and just so true. I'd never seen that before. It was just amazing. We went there to do some work painting on the school, and they had planned for us to do it in 3 days. We did it in one, and I really think that was God's hand in that, as it allowed us more time to do other things. And one of those things that I thoroughly enjoyed was our sports day with the kids. I had an absolute blast with that. And we just played simple games like Duck, Duck, Goose, Tag, Simon Says, I think. Like, we split up the kids in groups, and then we ourselves went with partners and went with each group and just did things with the kids. And it was just so much fun. And the kids were just so welcoming to everything that we had to show them and to play with them. And they were so enthusiastic and had unending energy. And we're just so much fun. And they'd sing songs for us, and we'd get them going, and they'd do actions and try and repeat our English. And we didn't attempt their language because it's difficult. But, it was just so much fun with them. And in the short time of getting to know them, it made it really difficult to leave, as they're an entire community of Christians, and they're living just a more communal-focused lifestyle centered on God. Their standard of living to us might be very poor. However, their spiritual life is just so rich. It's just amazing, really. And, you know, our lifestyle is focused more on wealth and materialism. The contrast is so stark, and it just was and it still is sometimes difficult for me to adjust to. And one other incredible experience that I had when I was there is we got to visit some homes and the families. And the people we found were just so open and sharing. The little that they had, they were willing to give it. Ella, I, and Stuart went to one place, and it was a single mother. She had some kids, I can't remember how many. Her husband had died, I'm assuming of AIDS, I can't really remember, to tell you the truth. And she offered us milk. And it's because that's all she had to offer. But she still offered it, which was, you know, incredible. And just as Jasmine commented in the video, if one person has something, then everyone has something, because they just give so unconditionally. And their homes are so heartbreaking to see, as the walls are dirt and stick, and the floors are just dirt, and they have maybe a few benches and a few tables and a few beds, and that's it. That's all. That's their house. Their kitchen is some jugs and a fire pit, and they if they're lucky or wealthy enough, they have some cows and chickens that share a room in their house. It's just so different from our lifestyle. Another thing I was excited to help out with was the harvest, as I had said before. Growing up on a farm, I thought this was something that I could really help out in and shine, but they didn't have any tractors or mechanized equipment, so that was a little bit different. If you talked horsepower, it was literally about that horse that you saw walking down, pulling the cart down the street. Or the steers leading that one shear plow to work the field. It's just very different. We went to harvest the field to swath it as we would with swathers here. Instead, we were the swathers. We had a sickle on one hand, a little blade, and we used our other hand to push the crop, the teff that we were harvesting across the blade, and that's how we went. And that experience finally gives me one thing to say over my opa, as I finally farmed in one way that he hasn't. But The only thing is that we went about 0 miles an hour, while the locals just whipped past us clear in the field, so I'm not sure how much we really helped them in that, but it was still fun. And another thing with plowing the fields, our furrows kind of go all over the place, so I'm sure they're going to have to replow that, but hey, we tried, and they greatly appreciated all our efforts. That was great. But honestly, their future doesn't have to be in poverty. With the help of contributions like the ones that we made this year, through your guys' support and prayers and just giving as we did, they can have a hope for their future. Educational is a fundamental institution that we have here and that they have there. We go to school to get better jobs, to learn new skills, and to work to increase our standard of living. And they can too. But the difference is we have access to it, and ours, we start off in properly funded educational environments. But by funding the school in Zamin Sabea, we provided desks and chalkboards, books, we cemented the flooring and the foundation of the other buildings, and we built bathrooms. And these are all essential tools for the education. But by providing the clean water and closer water sources is life-changing for these people. And the donkey and cart we also help supply or provide allows the students to spend more time on their schooling and reduces the contact they have with unsafe environments. So it wasn't just painting a school that we did there and all the other stuff. We helped this school and the futures of the 600 students. We helped the lives of the students' families and all those affected by the water. However, there's still more in Ethiopia and in that area that need our help. God greatly impacted my life there, and I'm so thankful for the experience. But the mission isn't finished yet. My favorite quote, I think as all of ours was, is if we can love on these people and the children, they can have a hope for their future.
Great job, Jason. For those who don't know me, I'm Josh, and this is my wife, Jasmine. I'm not a public speaker at all. Sorry, I'm not a public speaker at all, so I wrote some things down. It's going to be short, so public speaking. Something that hit me was... earlier on in this trip, a group of us went for a walk, and as soon as we did, we had a bunch of small children following us down the street. These children obviously did not have much. They were wearing very worn-out clothes. While we were walking along the street, they started to ask for burr. And as we continued to walk, we saw up ahead an elderly woman sitting on the street. She was wearing rags for clothes and was begging for money. As we walked by, we saw a few other people give the lady money. Another thing that struck me was the kids that were following us stopped asking for money for them. And started asking for money for the woman across the street. They were saying "burr" and then pointing at the lady. This is one of the things that struck me hard, that the people that had very little still gave to people that had less. They were great. There was a great sense of community there. This is one of the reasons I believe that we should continue to serve in this area, because I believe that this area, Soto Wilayta, is part of our community.
Okay, I don't really know what else I can say that Jason didn't cover. He pretty much got everything done there. I think I'm just going to touch on a couple of different things that I thought were pretty neat when we were there. One of the things is that I have never felt more accepted in any country I've been in. And I've been to a number of different ones, but everywhere you went there, people just absolutely loved you. I would see middle-aged women freak out when we drove by, like jaws drop and hands just going crazy, screaming because they saw a white person. And that just didn't happen, right? So it was weird. In the video, they basically showed everything that I'm just going to touch a little more on. One of the things was the women's ministry, the Women's Empowerment Project, when we showed up and all the ladies just dancing and singing and so excited to have us there because we had impacted them in a way by helping them through KVI to get the funding to do the ministry so that these ladies are able to, I believe it was the grain that they were doing, they were crushing, like making grain and everything to bring to the market, which gives them something they can do other than working in the fields and a lot more harder labor that way. That dancing that you guys saw in the video, it must have went on for a good 15 minutes, maybe even longer, until we like basically were all ushered inside. Oh, 25 minutes. 25 minutes they danced in the heat in jackets. So I don't know. It was crazy. But they loved it. The wells. There was four different wells. I believe one or two of them were built, and then the other ones were basically just refurbished, brought back to life. Each of those wells, they're all super close to each other. They're all within walking distance, but each one of them affects 350 to 450 people, which is amazing for such a tiny little area that they were in. So that stops the kids. Like, it gives the kids the opportunity to go to school because then they don't have to walk. I don't even know how far, many, many, many miles to get water during the day. So they're able to just basically go, I don't know, a very short distance to grab the water from the well. At the school, the stuff that we did was able to put the foundation, we were able to concrete around all the walls so the walls won't fall down. So they're able to continue doing that because they are all built out of sticks and mud and dirt. As well as some of the classroom floors, we're able to put concrete on them, which is a huge deal because then that also allows the kids to be able to there longer because they don't have to haul the water to put down on the floors to stop all the dust. As well as the dirt in the floors that have parasites, it gets into their bare feet because most of them don't have shoes. And so that obviously affects kids too because you actually have to cut those parasites out of their feet. So that's pretty amazing that way. I don't think it actually showed the orphanage on the video, but the first day when we got to Addis, we were able to go to the KVI orphanage and see some of the kids there. And it was just amazing to see how happy those kids are and how much love they were getting from the few people that were there to help them, that were taking care of them, as well as another orphanage that was in Bodidi, I believe it was, or Soto, where one kid was there since literally the day it was born, it was brought to that orphanage. So it's just amazing to see that the kids, like, I don't know what would have happened to that kid if the orphanage wasn't there. As well as they are working on having the kids fostered out to the community, which I think Jason touched on that as well, just to see that the people who have nothing are still able to help the kids there. I think that's pretty much everything I wanted to touch on, but basically it's amazing, the little bit that we've been able to do to help them there, or, I mean, not a little bit, but in our standards. It's amazing that we are able to help them and that we're able to provide the little bit extra they have there and just the absolute gratefulness that they have and how impacted they were by it, which in turn was huge to me, just to see how grateful they were and how much they loved having us there and how, yeah, the difference that it made in their life. And that's about it.
I was told by the sound guy to grab this mic, so. Well, good morning. My name is Stu. For those of you who don't know or recognize me, that's because while this has been my home church for the past 26 years, I live and work in Calgary, so that's why I'm not here as often as I would like to be. But I'm here this morning and with a great privilege to be able to share with you a little bit about our experience in Ethiopia. I think a lot of the details have already been shared. What I really want to just touch on briefly is just the idea of the partnership as a whole that we're trying to set up for a long-term process. You've already heard from Jason, from Pastor Dennis, from a couple people in the video that missions isn't about bringing Jesus to the country of Ethiopia. We know he's already there. He's alive and well there. Missions in general, and specifically our trip, was about being Jesus to the people of Ethiopia. There were plenty of examples that I saw on that trip with Jason teaching the kids new songs and hearing their songs, which I think he'll back me up. They sound way better than our songs. When he was doing that, he was being Jesus to those kids. When Josh would just make kids laugh by simply jumping up and down. When Rachel and Jasmine would paint fingernails for a whole lineup of girls. Those are simple acts of just being Jesus to those kids there. But when you guys as a community chose to get behind Dennis when he shared his heart for that area, when you chose to support the group on the trip and the ongoing projects there, you were being a shining example of Christ to not only that region, but to your friends and family around you that see you make those commitments and make those choices. I think Jason already shared one song that kind of reminds him of the situation. One that I would like to share is, I believe the song is called With Every Act of Love, and it talks about the idea of everything that we do with love is a manifestation of the kingdom of God. And there's one particular lyric in that song that says, God put a million doors in the world for his love to walk through, and one of those doors is you. And the song is not referring to the eight of us who went. It's not referring to Eob, who is there working directly with the kids. It's not just referring to those long-term missionaries who are on another side of the world. It's referring to each and every one of us here that can make such a huge difference with every single little act of love that we can do. So what I really want to do is I just want to encourage you to, A, talk to one of the people that went on the trip, one-to-one. Josh, for example, will be a much better conversation. You did good, Josh. I appreciate it. But if you talk to any one of the people that went on that trip, they may not be able to describe to you in words the impact that it had on their life, but you'll be able to see just the lips curl a little bit as they just beam. We saw a lot of poverty there for sure. We saw a lot of pain. But more than that, we saw a lot of hope and smiles and promise for a brighter future because of what Christ is doing through his church. The second thing I want to encourage you to do is pray intentionally about how God is going to use you in this partnership. The community of Leduc Fellowship Church has already done amazing things, but as was already outlined from a couple people before, there's so much more to do, and it's amazing to think of what God can do if only we're actually willing to listen and to act. So, yeah, pray intentionally. Wait for him to tell you what to do, and then just go do it. It's as simple as that. If he's telling you to do it, there's no question that it's going to work out, and it's going to be an amazing, incredible thing. Thanks.
thanks to the four who shared, and I think you saw the rest in the video. Rachel Conway, who's actually in BC celebrating the holidays with Nick, her husband, Rachel Gully, my daughter, and Heidi Horschel, I think. Anybody else? I think that covers everybody there, including myself. I do encourage you, as Stuart has, to talk to those folks, to sit down and just to hear more of the heart of what happened there. I intentionally didn't let anybody share until after we'd gotten back for a while, because if you've been on one of these trips, you know the high you come off of, which is a great thing, but it's good to just let all that settle and so the truth really rises to the top. Just a couple things I want to share with you. One is, you know, I really appreciated Jason's thought about being an answer to prayer. In the church, we so often, I can look around this room and point out so many people in this room who would gladly do anything for somebody else, but don't want something done for them. And so often we think of ourselves as one who can pray for somebody, but not the answer to those prayers. And we are truly answers to prayers in many ways. You know, through wells, water, fresh water, we take it for granted, and yet those people don't out there. Those four wells, as Jasmine said, affect huge amounts of people in that little bit of an area. Hundreds of people, if not thousands of people, that would be affected by those wells. And I may have shared this with you earlier when I shared a little bit of a roundup after we got back from the trip, but one thing I didn't expect was when they sent the first update on the wells and what the expectation would be of how many people it would affect, it wasn't the number of people that would now have clean water, but it was the percentage drop in rape that they expected to see. Because young girls are walking early, early mornings and late, late nights, miles and miles to get water by themselves at times. And when you think of a water well, you don't think of rape. You don't think of young girls being raped on their way and what this will help in that area. But this, I believe that the rate, they were expecting the rape rate in that area to drop between 40 to 50% because of the wells being closer to home. Now, there's bigger issues there than just water. But water affects that greatly. The school, being able to have, I mean, how many people here, anybody here go to, some of you probably went to school on a dirt floor. How many people here went to school with a dirt floor? Anybody? Nobody? Surprise, come on, somebody here is going to be old enough to have a dirt floor. At least told their kids they had a dirt floor when they went to school. You know what, these kids have to work harder to study in a classroom with dirt floors, but they have to water the floors down. They have to, can't spend as much time in there just because of the dust. It's hard. Foundation around the schools, the latrines, all those things, school supplies we help purchase, tables and desks, things to work on. All are very meaningful and huge for these kids. The work we were able to do, small as it was, just some training of pastors for the churches. We had 250-some pastors show up for training, and these pastors aren't well-trained and don't get a lot of training down in their area. Most of them are not trained in the least, technically speaking, when it comes to ministry. And to have anybody come and give teaching was something that they just absorbed. And all of these things are things that we can be a part of in the long-range future. I thought of two little girls that made an impact on me. It was one of our last days. We were sitting in the school compound, and the school is split up into morning class and afternoon class. And when you're not in class, you're not supposed to be on the school grounds. And that was hard for some of these kids because, well, we were there, they wanted to be there. And if there were half the kids were in the 300 somewhere in the classrooms for the morning, the afternoon kids were outside the fence and they wanted to come in. Well, there is a gatekeeper who keeps the gate, and the fence has holes this big, so it's easy for the kids just to wander right through. But there's an old gatekeeper with a switch who walks around and switches them out and makes sure they don't come in. And yet the kids would risk it sometimes to do a special dance with Ella and Jason or with Jasmine and Josh or any of us. And yet one day we were sitting and eating our lunch, and these kids are on the outside, which is hard enough because you realize you at least have lunch, and they may not. And Ella, who's on our team from Hungry for Life, she has a lot of dietary issues, and so she had a lot of dried fruit with her because it's one thing she could eat. And one little girl, must have been about three, maybe four, wandered from the gate, took her life in her hands with that guy with the switch, and wandered over very slowly to our table and just stood there and looked at Ella's food and put her hand out. And Ella took a piece of mango and dried mango and put it in her hand. And the girl took it, looked at it, and turned and walked back. and it started to run towards the gate and disappeared. And next thing we know is that this little three, maybe four-year-old is now walking across the yard with a little two-year-old girl to Ella and stands her in front of her and says, out of all those kids, she knew the one. It may have been a brother or sister of hers. I don't know. She just knew that that other child needed help too. And as so many of these people said, I can't say it enough, if one person in Ethiopia has something, everybody around them has something. And we've seen the videos of the shoeboxes going. I can't imagine what would happen in that schoolyard if they gave out shoeboxes, because we gave out one piece of candy, and it was a free-for-all. I mean, literally, which one was it? Jason, I think, got mauled in his classroom. He barely made it out alive because he was handing out one piece of candy. And it wasn't that they wanted more than one. They were just hoping they got the one. But those little things make a huge difference. I want to read to you a passage that we've read many times, and I'm going to sound like a broken record, and yet it's a very important passage in our scripture. It's in Matthew chapter 25, and it's titled in the NIV, The Sheep and the Goats. And it's interesting if you think about this, that Jesus is giving us a picture here of how he's going to separate the good from the bad, and those who obeyed and those who didn't, and all those words we don't like to use but are the truth. And this is what he says. Matthew 25, starting in verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They will also answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or needing clothes, or sick, or in prison, and did not help you? He will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. I don't want to read too much into this, but I don't want to read too little into it either. And it seems to say that when God looks at us and judges our life, a big part of what he's going to say is, how did you act on my behalf to take care of those in need? Not only how are we Jesus to others, as has been mentioned, but how do we treat others who are in effect Christ himself, and as we treat them with love and compassion. I want that to be something we think about this year. As we enter into a new year, we have a lot of things to think about, a lot of resolutions to be made, a lot of plans to be put in order. And as a church, we need to consider the next step in our relationship with Ethiopia, with KVI, with Hungry for Life. And we made a long-term commitment, but we basically took one step of that commitment. I want us to be not just as staff, not just as elders, but as a community. I want us to truly be about praying for this. This cannot be a decision that the leadership makes. This has to be a decision that we make together. I hope that down the line we can say, we're sending another team out to Ethiopia. If you've been there, we would like you to stand and to see huge crowds of us stand because we've gone to build relationships there. I want us to know the people and to know their hearts. I want us to see Christ at work there. I want us to be about his work in every way possible. I want us to put our money where our mouth is and say, if we're going to support this in theory, we're going to support this in prayer, we're going to support this in money. And I want us to pray big, folks. Not just for another well. That's big. That's huge. Not just for all the floors in the school. And what was it? Jasmine was the one I think came to me. $8,104 or something. She had an exact figure of what it would take to cement the rest of the floors in that school. And she said, that's nothing. She could have done a harder sales job up here. She said, that's nothing. We can do that. And we can do that. And it makes a difference. But I want us to pray bigger than that even. I believe God wants to raise up some people from this congregation to go and live over there. And I've never said that before. I've never stood in this pulpit. You've never heard me say that before. Not that I lack faith, I just never felt God putting it on my heart. But I think in the future, we're going to be supporting our own missionaries from here to go to Ethiopia. And they may be in this room right now. Not you, Joanne. She's back there doing the dance. You We can go visit. I don't know. And I'm not saying this. I know Josh and Jasmine their hearts were tweaked there. I know Stuart's heart was tweaked there. I know Jason's heart was tweaked there. Jason's training as a teacher. Maybe somebody on this trip, maybe any of us on this trip, maybe somebody hasn't been there yet, but I believe God is calling somebody from this community to step up and to move our community in part to their community. And I want us to pray about that. And like I said, I've never said that. 7 years of standing in this pulpit, I've never made a statement like that. That's God's call, not mine. So if it doesn't happen, I don't feel like I've failed, but I believe God may be calling us to pray towards that end. So I ask that in 2015 and the years to come, that you pray for Ethiopia, that you pray for our leadership and steps we need to make towards that end, and that you pray about, as Stuart said, what your call in this plan is. It may be financial, and that's huge, to support it financially. It may be in prayer. That is beyond anything. It may be in preparing to go for the next trip, whenever that will be. But I want us to be in prayer about this, because I want this to be bathed in God's presence. And I don't want it to happen otherwise. So with that in mind, I'm just going to ask that you pray with me for Ethiopia right now. And then Murray and the team will come and lead us in our last song. Let's pray together. Father, we come before you today. And Lord, there are so many places on this earth where there is need of help. And all those places have you. And yet, Lord, you have asked for your body to come along, that you've asked the church to come along and be a part of your work wherever you are. And Father, for us, we have felt this call to Ethiopia, to Zamina Sabea, to Bodidi, to Wolaita. And Lord, knowing that as your gospel comes forth from that, just that amazing greenhouse of faith in that southern region of Ethiopia, Lord, that many missionaries will come from that place and go to other parts of Ethiopia and Africa, will go to other parts of the world and be your light as that church continues to grow there. But Father, as we are reminded that the current prime minister of Ethiopia is a product of that area, that he's a Christian man who comes from that southern region. And Father, those children there have a hope that if with an education that they can rise to anything that you call them to. As we shared earlier, as I shared a few weeks ago, Lord, when we got back, that some of those kids said they wanted to be teachers, some wanted to be preachers, and one young man said he wanted to be the prime minister of Ethiopia. Father, I pray that those kids would not be bound by the poverty that they have been born into, but that they would be the solution to that poverty. That they, Lord, would hold strong to the faith that is strong in that area, and that faith alone would draw them to change their lives and the lives of those around them. And Father, we just simply would pray that the people in that area would know that they are dearly loved by you, because you would send your people there to know them, to love them, and to serve them in any way we can. So, Father, I pray that we would be about prayer this year in everything, for our own backyard here in Leduc, for our neighbors, for those across the street, for those we work with, but that we would not forget to be heavily in prayer for those around the world, for those who are persecuted for their faith, for those who have faith other than what, Lord, you would have them to have. Lord, those who struggle to know the truth about you, those who do not have the word presented to them in a way that they would know you. But Father, I pray that we would lift those up who serve you faithfully, that we would support the work that they are already doing. So, Father, I thank you for the opportunity to have been on the ground in Ethiopia numerous times, and I thank you for this last trip especially. Father, I thank you for the team that we had, just the beauty of what you brought together in those individuals. Lord, I thank you for the camaraderie that we had and the spirit of unity that we had. And I pray, Lord, that that would speak the love of Christ to the people that we were able to serve. So we thank you for the resources that you've blessed us with, that we could bless others with. And Father, now we simply ask that you would just, as we bathe this in prayer and as we seek your face, that you would give us wisdom and give us a full understanding of your knowledge of what we are to do and where we're to stretch and how much we're to take on. That, Lord, we would consider the cost of what we're asking to build and know that we have what it takes to see it to fruition. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're going to close with the song, Emmanuel, Hallowed Manger Ground. We just invite you to stand with us.